How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woohoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
Terms and conditions apply.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
This podcast contains graphic descriptions that some listeners may find disturbing. Listener discretion is advised. Now, with that being said, welcome to the Mortal Musings podcast.
Right, let's do this.
Why can't you understand food textures?
What?
Well, like when you're making a sandwich, yeah?
Yeah.
You gotta like cut the lettuce a certain way. Like, do you want it shredded? Like,
no.
That's my personal preference, is shredded lettuce. Whereas you just take a bastard leaf off the fucking head of lettuce and just fuck it onto the bread.
That's what most people do.
No, that's fine if that's what you want to do. But it doesn't matter, like, what, like, if you were making
If you can't bite through a piece of fucking lettuce without shredding it, then...
What? No, it's not about that. It's about... This is exactly what I'm saying. You don't know fucking shit. You don't understand how the texture can impact the quality of the food. Or you... like when you cut onion... No, I'm going to fucking interrupt you. When you cut onions, there are these big, massive wedges of onion. Which, again, fine if that's your...
I love my wedges of onion.
Fine if that's your preference. Again, you know, go off. But some things taste better when it's like a sliver, when it's like a thin layer.
Right.
Yeah?
If you're going to attack me about how I have my food, Megan is the sort of prick who will complain about too much cheese on her pizza or too much meat in a burger.
Do you know why? Because it's throwing the balance off, the texture or the flavor balance.
No.
When I can't taste any fucking sauce and the dough's all soggy and greasy because there's that much bastard cheese on it, it ruins it for me. And it's just looping back around to the fucking sandwich thing as well, because this is another thing, right? When I make a fucking sandwich, right? Let's say I'm making ham, cheese, lettuce, tomato, onion, something like, right, whatever, yeah?
Mm.
But sliced meat's on it. If I'm getting a slice of ham, right? I'll say two slices of ham sandwich and you kind of fold them over so you got a bit of texture to it.
That's flat. And it's,
yeah. Neil just like fucks it at the bread and you got this like skin flap hanging off your fucking sandwich. It pisses me off so bad. Where's the texture, Neil? Where's the texture?
I have mayo in it. I have butter. I have meat.
Well, now you're just listing ingredients.
No, but the different textures. Onion. Sliced meat, butter, mayo.
If I make Neil and I a sandwich, yeah, it mine is like stacks looking. It's like advertisement worthy. Do you know what I'm saying? And then I look at Neil's if I'm to make it as per his instructions. And it's two slices of fucking bread and you might see a tiny bit of fucking lettuce just poking out of the corner. It's the
and
saddest
I'll,
looking
I'll
thing.
Pick it out and chuck it on plate.
He's actually done that before. I deliberately give him less lettuce because he doesn't really like anything fresh. And the three strands of shredded lettuce that are in there, he'll pick out, be like, that's too much. You really took the piss here, Megan. It's fucking insanity.
Well, I feel personally attacked.
I'm glad you do. I meant it that way.
I think the one what made me laugh the most, no one's ever pointed it out before until you, when you said about my fingerprints in the bread.
That, I can't deal with that. When I pick a sandwich up that's, you know, I haven't toasted it, it's bread.
He said something about me
delicate.
Having a death grip on the bread.
Yeah, like it owes him money, is the way Neil holds a fucking sandwich. I'm careful because I don't want to get my hands all mushed up into the bread. But like he's angry at the bread. I don't know what else to tell you.
You literally see like four fucking dints it's where my fingers have been.
Yes, it's very upsetting to me.
Great.
It's just something I needed to say. I needed to get that off my chest.
Well, I'm glad that's off your chest.
Yeah.
I'll see about couples counselling.
Please do. BetterHelp sponsor us.
Are you in need of a new podcast? Well, what about Tis Yourself? It is the Irish podcast you've never even heard of. With 5 seasons for you to catch up on, Tis Yourself is all about interviewing the celebrities that you love. That includes people like Tate Donovan from The OC and Friends.
I have a funny story about Cillian Murphy.
How about Rob Mascio, who played the Todd in Scrubs?
So comedy has changed. Maybe I got out at the right time. I don't know.
And what about some celebrities from home? Dancing with the Stars pro Laura Nolan. We've had James Patrice. And we'd have Dahi O'Shea.
So no, like, so having people in the middle of TikTok with Irish and being cool and funny.
Over in the UK, we've had guests like Matt Cardle and Shane Ward and even Simon Gregson, a.k.a. Steve McDonald from Coronation Street. So I think it's time for you to discover Tiz yourself. So what are you waiting for? Off you go.
So, this is probably the most excited I've been for the start of an episode because we're doing part two of last week, part one.
Yes, we are.
You kind of left it on a cliffhanger.
I did indeed.
But I fucking called it halfway into the episode.
Mm.
And you didn't tell me I was right or wrong. You just carried on as if I didn't speak. You just ignored me. And then left it on the cliffhanger, but it was someone who worked for the law enforcement.
Mm-hmm. Do you want me to give a brief... I'll give a brief recap, yeah.
Yeah.
So, in part one of the Torrey Pines Beach murders, we talked about Barbara Nantes and Claire Huff. Barbara was a 15-year-old girl who was murdered in 1978 on the Torrey Pines Beach, and 6 years later, Claire Huff, who was only 14 years old, was murdered on the same beach in a very similar attack. It wasn't until 2008 that the cases would be linked, and it wasn't until 2012 that DNA would produce 2 suspects. Now, we talked about one of the suspects, Ronald Clyde Tatrow.
Is he the one who topped him then on the boat?
Yes, he is dead. So they go to their only living suspect, which was Kevin Brown. And he was a former criminalist in the San Diego Police Department crime lab.
And tell
since retired.
And tell him I called it.
He called it. Yeah, no, Neil's very excited because he did mention law enforcement being a possibility.
Look, the reason why is because it took him until 2008, it took him 24 years to link the 2 murders. It sounded very fucking covered up, very delayed.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, it's foul play this with cops.
Mm-hmm.
I was right. There was no way, but they wouldn't have been linked instantly. They'd both been found with a gob full of sand, mutilated breast, strangled, raped? Were they both?
Yes, they were both been sexually assaulted, yeah.
Both sexually assaulted. On the same beach.
Mm-hmm.
Roughly the same age. They both looked similar. And it took 24 years for them to be linked. It were like, nah. Nah, mate. As my fellow Brits would say. So do you want to carry on?
Yeah, so we will continue on where we left off. Kevin's DNA, which was a microscopic amount, was found on a vaginal swab taken from Claire's body. And like we said, Kevin Brown was a former criminalist in the San Diego Police Department crime lab. So this is
a bit like Dexter.
Well, police are looking at this and they're thinking, you know, sly bastard right under our noses. It's almost kind of a William Suff type feeling.
Yeah.
Do you know, do you remember him? Do you remember?
Suff. Mass murder.
Riverside.
What?
The Riverside Killer.
No.
Okay, so William Suff, he wasn't in law enforcement.
That was Fernandez or Resendez.
No. William Suff, the Riverside Killer, although he wasn't in law enforcement, he worked for a company that was delivering and assembling. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He was in and he was seeing what they were doing on the board and
exactly.
Everything.
Exactly. Yeah. So I'm sure at this moment in time, the police are probably thinking that like, oh my, it was one of our own. He was right there, you know.
Yeah.
It's kind of fucking shocking.
Wait, what was his position again?
He worked in the lab. So he was analysing, you know, the samples.
The evidence for these cases.
Yes. Well, he didn't actually work on these cases, but obviously he would have been aware of them.
So he could have easily destroyed some evidence as well.
Could have done. So police want to talk to Kevin, and obviously the first thing they want to ask him is if he knew Ronald. He was already convicted rapist.
Yeah.
You know, what was his ties? Kevin tells the police that he had never seen him before. Kevin was also shown a picture of Claire, and when he saw the picture, he said, oh, sure, I remember her. But, I mean, you can kind of ignore that, because this case was well publicised and the picture he was shown was well circulated in the media.
Yeah.
So this is years later, it's kind of just going to trigger a memory. He was then told that his DNA was found in the evidence, but they didn't tell him where. Now, police are really beginning to hone in on Kevin. After a year of trying to find evidence that would link Kevin to the crime, and not finding anything, the police were able to obtain a search warrant for his home, and seize 14 boxes worth of his belongings. And at this point, the police were now looking for evidence of Barbara's murder as well as Claire's. Kevin denied having anything to do with the murders, and his wife also doesn't believe he had anything to do with them. It's a far cry from the man she'd been married to for 20-odd years. She describes him as a sweetheart who had opened doors for her and shared her love of animals, in particular, kitty cats.
He'd opened doors for me?
Yeah, that's what she said.
It's a fair argument, isn't it?
But you got to think, as the wife, and if you know nothing about this side that, you know, they're being accused of doing these horrific crimes.
They never have that side around the family. It's always a double life.
Yeah, well, it's still going to shock you though, isn't it, you know?
Yeah.
But regardless of what his wife Rebecca said, the police had already built up this profile of Kevin. Now, apparently at the lab where Kevin worked, he'd been given a nickname.
Creep.
Kinky.
Some
of his former co-workers have said that they remembered Kevin had told them years ago that he would go to strip clubs and dirty movies.
Porn?
Yeah. Which the old blue material.
They ever tell you about my dad in Germany?
Oh God, go on.
So my dad and his mates, they'd gone over to Germany for a speedway meeting, and they arrived the night before. So they went out on the town and had a few drinks. And they were like, oh,
lads,
you know,
on tour.
They were looking for the next bar, and they were like, oh, what about that bar? We'll go there.
Mm-hmm.
And they went in, they sat down, they ordered drinks. And next minute, bloke come out with his tackle swinging about.
Oh God.
My dad was like, what the fuck is going on here? And then a woman came out, it was a live sex show.
Did he enjoy himself?
I think they got out of there fairly quick.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, I think there's two types of people in that situation. You know, if you're in there unexpectedly.
Yeah.
You either get the fuck up and out straight away, or you're kind of, you know, car crash situation where you're kind of like, I want to move, but my body is frozen.
Me with Sticky Vicky. And I was in the front row.
Mm.
So anything
you've seen some shit
about or...
Fucking way you just moved your head.
Telling you now, you can't really get squeamish with anything after you've seen like a 70-year-old woman pull the flags of all nations out of a woo-ha.
Yeah, that'll toughen you up quick, seeing something like that. I think if it's your first time going to somewhere like Benidorm and you don't really know the sus, it just brings someone to Sticky Vicky, and that'll prepare them for anything.
It can't have affected me that bad because I went back and watched it again.
But didn't you go and bring your girlfriend at the time?
Yes.
Yeah, so you basically were just trying to traumatise her.
Oh, and took my brother.
You did it for the laugh.
Yeah.
She hasn't been the same since, Neil. That ended your relationship.
Well, you're safe now, she's retired. A daughter does it now, though, I think.
So, yeah, through going to strip clubs and dirty movies, Kevin had earned the nickname Kinky. But along with that, his co-workers also maintained that he was always professional while at work. It was said that there was a female co-worker who had said she didn't feel comfortable around him. One day while they were working together, she said that while reading a report that featured details of a violent sexual assault, he read it out loud to her and made a comment about how something in the report was funny. Afterwards, she said she didn't want to work alone with him.
He said something was funny in the report.
Yeah, or made some type of a joke to do with it. And she was just like, no, fuck off.
Yeah, it's a bit sick, isn't it? It's like trying to have banter in a true crime podcast.
It's fucking twisted. Another aspect that made police wary of Kevin was his photography. In the 1980s, Kevin used to do lingerie photography. A photographer who had previously worked with Kevin had said that he would also do some more explicit private photography sessions. Kevin also volunteered to take a lie detector test, which he failed. But Kevin was said to have been a very anxious person, as am I.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't have faith that I would necessarily pass a lie detector test. So I'm kind of like, yes.
I'm a very confident person. Mm-hmm. But I think once I got hooked up to this fucking machine and I've got a bloke just asking me a question, looking down and then just looking up at me through his brow, beads of sweat start on my forehead.
Yeah.
I'd start twitching.
Let's say you were hooked up to one, yeah?
Fuck me, I can be sat there watching TV and me leg will start fucking differing.
Yeah. I was going to say, like, let's say we went down the Jeremy Kyle route here, yeah?
Yeah.
I suspected you of cheating on me with 15 different women.
Yeah.
Right? So you get hooked up. You haven't done it. You haven't cheated on me.
Uh-huh.
But let's say, for the sake of argument, you had previously cheated on a girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
You could have an emotional reaction to that. And although you're saying, no, I didn't cheat on Megan, you could be thinking, oh, but I did cheat on whoever. You know,
It's also, they interviewed a polygraph tester and he was saying, like, I don't think he did lie detectors at the time. He'd stopped. And he said, you could dream, like fantasize about a celebrity or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then in a lie detector, have you slept with anyone while you've been in a relationship with blah, blah?
Mm-hmm.
And you say no, but you've got it in your head somewhere. You fantasized about being with Jennifer Lopez.
Yeah.
And it'll come up as you've lied.
Yeah.
Like, they're just so shit.
Yeah.
So fucking shit.
I kind of feel like they're nothing more than entertainment value.
Yeah. So if we ever take a lie detector and it says I cheated, you know why. You know?
No, but with that said, there are a lot of details in this case that just kind of seem like grasping at straws.
Mm.
Like when Kevin had said that he had previously met a woman named Claire in the 80s. Emphasis on woman, not a teenage girl. And he'd said that she was about 30 years of age. And Claire is not an unusual name. Again, his wife backed him and she said she never believed it and that Kevin didn't have a mean bone in his body. Now, I admit some of the things don't sound great, but more likely that he could have been maybe a bit of a creepy guy who made inappropriate comments or jokes at times.
Hmm.
Is it really enough to think he's capable of rape, murder, and mutilation of two teenage girls?
No, but his DNA inside her vagina is.
Yes. That absolutely is a cause for concern.
So unless he was doing something fucking disgusting at work once the fucking corpse was in for analysis.
Mm-hmm.
But I take it these swabs was done at the crime scene.
Well, we will talk about the DNA in a minute, but again, let's go with the notion that he is the one who had murdered these young girls.
Yeah, he absolutely did.
What was his connection to Ronald? There is no evidence whatsoever that they ever came across each other, knew each other in any capacity. There was a microscopic amount of Kevin's DNA found, whereas Claire's genes were covered in Ronald's blood.
And where had he bled from? Like,
Ronald?
Yeah.
Well, we don't know. He's dead now. We don't have anything from him.
Oh. So it's a shame they couldn't get any DNA of the attacker off of Jim. Because Jim had obviously been in a scuffle with him.
Mm. Well, you have to bear in mind these attacks took place in 78 and 84.
Ah, okay, yeah.
DNA?
Yeah.
You know?
So they wouldn't have even tested Jim.
Yeah. So, Kevin was described as a nervous person, shy, shaky, and awkward, which, again, just made them more wary of him. But like I said, I'm also a very anxious, nervous person, so that's me fucked if I'm ever in a similar situation. I don't think that's enough to warrant locking someone up.
Mm.
And this is pure speculation on my part, but I'd take a guess the name Kinky came more from the fact that they were surprised that he had this other side of him. You know, the strip club and the dirty movies, given that he was this outwardly shy, awkward guy.
Yeah.
It sounds more like they're just kind of slagging him.
Yeah, yeah.
Kinky Kev. You know what I mean? Like, it's not nothing else about him really gives that impression. So going back to the DNA results that linked him, are you ready for it?
Mm-hmm.
This is what you're going to be like, oh, fucking hell. Not only did lab workers used to bring in their own samples, but there was a very high chance of cross-contamination. DNA swabs were not kept correctly. It was the early 80s. Things were not kept in any way as carefully as they would be now. The swab in question was left out to dry in the open air with no cover or anything, and near where Kevin would have been working. And the question of why is it semen rather than sweat or, you know, anything more easy to explain away.
Yeah.
But like I said, they would bring in their own samples. Male workers would often bring in their own semen samples in order to test the chemicals to make sure they got the correct reaction.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. And they needed fresh samples. So, like I said, they brought in their own.
So you're saying it's cross-contamination because he's brought his own semen in and his semen was on a swab.
Mm-hmm.
And then that swab has been inserted for a rape kit on Claire.
No.
Oh. Why am I getting that so wrong?
Because I'm not there. I can't tell you exactly how the cross-contamination happened.
Oh.
But I'm not saying that that's what happened. Also remember, it was a microscopic amount that was found. The San Diego Police Department insists that this was not the case and that there was no way that cross-contamination was possible. But the actual people who worked in the lab said it was entirely likely. They also noted that they didn't even change gloves between handling samples.
Really?
Yes.
See, even though it'd be like back in the 70s, you'd think labs are labs.
Yeah.
Like it'd be very strict of, you know, change your gloves.
Mm-hmm.
Store your sperm.
Always store your sperm. This also is something that has happened before. This isn't a one-off freak thing.
Hmm.
You know, there has been cross-contamination that has interfered with cases before.
Kevin, I would just like to apologise for jumping the gun.
I think you should, yes. Former lab tech John Sims, who had worked on Claire's case, has said that there was a possibility that he is the one who was responsible for the cross-contamination of samples. He described how samples were kept in an envelope in the fridge, and it's possible that he grabbed Kevin's instead of his own for testing. Now, in regards to his photography, his wife knew about it, and it wasn't some dirty secret of his that he had done it, you know. It wasn't like a sleazy thing.
Well, it's still sleazy.
Well, he had even shown her some of the pictures he had taken.
Oh, so is he seeing it as art?
Yeah, he was obviously proud of the work he had done. And she said that most of them were just sort of cutesy poses and glamour shots. And she also said he was a single man at the time and he was getting to photograph beautiful, scantily clad women. He was loving it. He was enjoying himself. You know what I mean? And like he was sharing these photos with his wife. Like you said, he was probably kind of proud of his artwork. Is that
the right
word?
They're not heard of data protection.
As from going to strip clubs and dirty movies, it's not my scene, but that doesn't make him a rapist or a murderer. You can't base a murder investigation.
Because he were a filthy bastard.
In the words of Sean Bean, yeah.
Bastard.
So we've kind of gone through all the different aspects of why they think it's Kevin and kind of debunked the majority of it, really.
So it's most likely a man who topped himself on the boat, then?
Well, again, we've still got some more to go, but, you know, the whole thing of him remembering Claire, the picture is well circulated, like we said earlier, and meeting the person, he said it was a woman of about 30 years of age.
Yeah.
You know, and he's probably going to remember seeing her. It's, you know, that's all just bollocksology.
Mm.
You know what I mean? So other than them thinking he's creepy, what do they really have against him?
DNA.
A microscopic amount, which lab workers have already said, highly possible it's cross-contamination.
Yeah.
So, of course, all of this was taking a massive toll on Kevin. He already had a history of suffering from anxiety and depression, and he was said to have fixated on the fact that they had taken his personal possessions as well. A lot of the items that police seized wouldn't have really had anything to do with the investigation. It was said that a lot of the items that they had taken were more personal items, including things that belonged to Rebecca's mother, who lived with them. So why are they taking that? Like, what?
And I'm pretty sure I heard somewhere, but if police take items as evidence. Even once the case is closed, it's hard to get them back.
Yes,
well, a lot of people don't get them back.
Well, that was another detail in this. When they would contact police about getting their possessions back, the date would just keep getting pushed back.
Yeah.
Rebecca multiple times would chase up after them and say they said it was, yeah, you'll get them back on the, we'll say the 15th of June.
Hmm.
Well, suddenly it was the 30th of June.
Yeah.
And then it was the 8th of fucking July. You know what I mean? And just, and like I said, this was something that Kevin was really struggling with. This was his life, his personal items, yeah. You know? At this stage, Kevin is becoming more and more stressed out as the police were keeping them hanging with no real answers. Kevin was even hospitalised for his anxiety. He was terrified and becoming undone. But that didn't matter to the police, who seemed hell-bent on him being the killer. And not that there was many others, but all the other suspects were now dead.
Yeah.
On the 20th of October, 2014, Rebecca came home to work to find Kevin's Bible sat on the table. In the Bible, Kevin had underlined a passage about being wrongfully accused. He had left his watch and his phone at home. So Rebecca turns to her mother and asks where Kevin was. She told Rebecca that he'd gotten showered, shaved, cleaned up and went out. And Kevin didn't come home that night. The next day, police show up to her home. They tell Rebecca that they found Kevin. The previous day, when Kevin had left their house, he had travelled to their holiday home, where he would take his own life by hanging at the age of 62. Rebecca believes that his suicide was not an admission of guilt, but that he just couldn't take it anymore. Even if he had gone to court and was found not guilty, the damage had been done.
It's one of them things where if you're a man and you get, say you got accused of sexual assault, it's not even murder,
mm-hmm.
sexual assault. You haven't done it, you're completely innocent, but your name's tarnished.
That's yeah, of course.
It. That's
yeah.
it. You're not going to live the same life.
Well, literally all they had on Kevin was the microscopic DNA that was found. Microscopic amount of DNA that was found. And even that was being challenged.
Yeah.
Everything else that they were trying to pin on him was all shite. It was all fluff.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Now, 3 days after his death, the San Diego police held a press conference where they would publicly name Kevin as one of two suspects in Claire's murder.
Really?
Yep. And they also said that an arrest would have been coming if not for his death.
Fucking hell, like...
Mm-hmm.
So they've waited till he's dead because he's not there to defend himself.
Basically, yeah. In 2020, Kevin's wife Rebecca filed a lawsuit against the police, stating that their ill-mannered approach to the investigation was a violation of civil rights and had driven Kevin to suicide.
Good woman.
Yeah. It was also alleged that a warrant for the seizure of Kevin's property was secured in violation of Frank versus Delaware, meaning that, by admitting the fact that cross-contamination was highly likely, the warrant was obtained through false claims. Rebecca won her case and was awarded $6 million. And an additional $50,000 in punitive damages. She later said, "I feel like Kevin has finally been vindicated. My voice was heard. His voice was heard."
Fair play to her.
I know. I was so fucking delighted for her when I heard that because it was just beyond disgusting.
Yeah.
How he was treated. You know, I...
What the fuck, San Diego?
The thing about it is, even if you were to believe, oh, there's a chance he was involved and he could have been involved, their investigation was fucking insane.
Yeah.
Like, it was just outrageous. As it stands, Claire's parents have said that they're happy with the conclusion that the police department came to. Police now say that Barbara and Claire's cases aren't connected.
What?
Mm-hmm. Basically like, ah, don't know what to tell you, lads. Let's just separate the whole thing.
Yeah.
Let's, you know. Now, here's something that throws a spanner in the works. Ronald, he was actually incarcerated in 1975 and wasn't paroled until 1982. Barbara was murdered in 1978. So Ronald couldn't have been the one to have murdered Barbara. And Kevin, at the time, was hundreds of miles away in Sacramento in college at the time. So basically, Barbara's friends and family are left with fuck all. No answers.
Fucking hell.
Mm-hmm.
And that's still to this day.
Yep. They've got nothing. it can't have been Kevin and it can't have been Ronald who killed Barbara.
So whoever did it hasn't committed a crime since? Because they'd have had the I can't remember what the system's called, but the DNA...
CODIS, I think, isn't it?
Yeah, the DNA had flagged up for them cases.
Isn't that just... Doesn't your heart fucking break for her family?
Yeah.
And Jim.
But you know what, like, I don't... Yeah, but you know what I don't get? So both cases were brutal.
Mm-hmm.
So whoever it was either went to jail for something else. Oh, no, he can't have because they got his DNA. He died. Had to.
Well, what if he had gone to prison for something? You know, like a relatively low level.
They'll still take your DNA. If you're in
prison. Are you sure?
If you're in jail, they'll take your DNA.
I don't think that's the case.
You're a criminal. They take your DNA.
Take your fingerprints.
I'm pretty certain they'd swab you and all.
I don't think they do. I think, because you have to have a warrant to get someone's DNA, don't you?
I don't think you do if they're in jail. They're in jail.
That doesn't mean you've no rights.
Well, you got less. So my guess is whoever the killer was, after doing the second one, died.
But why was Ronald's blood all over Claire's trousers?
And he wasn't... Oh, yeah.
He was paroled by the time Claire was murdered, but we have no answers for Barbara's murder.
And his blood was on Barbara?
No, just Claire's. But... It'd be easy to go, oh, it was two different people, but they were so similar.
Yeah.
It's very hard to believe they're not connected. Like, come on.
The only thing I can think of then is...
Copycat.
Copycat, yeah.
Yeah.
Because why would it be 6 years apart as well?
It has to either be like a copycat or someone who he's worked with previously on his attacks.
Yeah.
Because like I said, he's a history of sexual assaults.
Yeah. So we've cracked the code then. It's a copycat. Solved it, mate.
So, as for Jim, because don't forget about Jim. He was a victim in all of this too. Jim still, to this day, suffers from PTSD and survivor's guilt. Quote, "When I become aware that I am awake, I do not open my eyes. I put my hands on the bed and feel for the sheet. Or I feel for the sand on the beach."
Oh, Jim.
Imagine that's the first thing you do when you wake up. It's like, I'm immediately back at that scene.
Yeah.
Am I safe or not?
And I'm not saying this in any way disrespectful. Is he okay, like, brain injury wise, or?
As far as I know, Jim's okay. He's physically recovered.
Yeah. It's just because it must have been very serious for them to induce him into a coma.
Yeah.
That's usually like internal bleeding level.
I wonder, does he still surf?
Probably not. I don't think he'd go anywhere near a beach.
You don't know. So if you remember in our last episode, we talked about how devastated, obviously and understandably, Barbara's parents were.
Mm.
And how they blamed Jim for the attack and didn't ever want to see him again.
Please tell me they've started talking to him.
Barbara's father has since sent a letter to Jim, apologising for putting the blame on him. "I want you to know that I don't hold you responsible for Barbara's death. When I was grieving over her death, I needed to blame someone. And since she was with you, I lashed out at you." Which, I'm so glad to hear that, because for Jim to have that put on him is heartbreaking. And then obviously for her parents to be holding on to that. I know what they're saying isn't right, but they, like you said, he just lashed out at the first person.
Yeah.
You know? Jim has since said, "Because of a decision Barbara and I made, she never came home. And I own part of that decision." And that's the extremely devastating and frustrating case of the Torrey Pines beach murders. I don't even know what to tell you about this case. There's so many questions and I would love for this to finally get solved, but
it's a very slim chance.
Mm.
So basically it looks like your man did the first one, died by suicide. And you said it was on
No. He can't have... Kevin... or Ronald could not have committed Barbara's murder. Kevin was hundreds of miles away in Sacramento.
Yeah.
And Ronald was in prison.
So Ronald could have done the second...
Ronald's blood was all over Claire's trousers.
So he's the copycat.
Well, if anything, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I also actually wanted to mention that Jim is now an advocate for victims of violent crimes and he also runs a Facebook support group for victims of violent crimes and their family and friends. So good man, Jim.
Do you know the good name of it? Well, we'll find it and we'll put the link in the bio.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good old Jim. Jimbo. So how's that grab you?
It's definitely a case to mess with your head.
It'll keep you up at night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whoever did the first one, with how gruesome it was, they died after doing it. And then obviously Ronald McDonald with copycat.
But if you think about it, so for years and years, they didn't even connect them. Didn't connect them. Finally, oh, they're connected. And then they're like, oh, no, actually, they're not connected, lads. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
But.
I was listening, but so there was no DNA found on the first body.
I assume they didn't take any DNA. It was 78. I don't know.
Okay.
Either that or it'd been lost, destroyed.
Yeah.
What have you.
But again, if Kevin's wife is listening, I apologise. I did what the police did.
Died straight on him. Prick.
But I'm not in law enforcement. I'm not clued up on this shit. They are.
Yeah, but we also don't want someone like you on the jury. This is where the concern comes in.
All right. I was trying to heartfelt apology. So we'll just, before I get viciously attacked.
Mm-hmm. You did the start of the episode.
Can we please do an audit here?
Of course we can. Water cremation. You ever heard of water cremation?
I'm having a guess here. You're boiling them to death.
Well, not to death.
They're already dead. You're boiling the bath.
Dear God, no.
Is this still like an acid fucking bath thing?
Kind of. So, water cremation is referred to by a few different names. Resumation, alkaline hydrolysis, biocremation, flameless cremation, and aquamation.
Can you just say them again?
Are you taking the piss out of me or do you need me to? Because I actually did think I said them weird. Basically, it's a similar outcome to that of cremation. The body will be turned to calcium phosphate, more commonly referred to as ashes. But this method releases less than a quarter of the CO2 that a traditional cremation does. So how it works is the body will be placed into a chamber where it will then be submerged into a heated solution of water and sodium hydroxide. And over the course of 3 hours, the body decomposes, leaving just a liquid solution consisting of the body's chemical compounds, which are amino acids, peptides, sugar, and salt, and the bones, which by this stage can be easily broken down. And they are then taken out and used to create the ashes, which will then be given back to the person's loved ones.
Where do they do this?
Well, I'm going to tell you in a sec where they do it. Now, like I said, there's the water left. But this water will then be transferred to another tank where it's sterilised and any DNA left in it will be removed. And then that water can just be disposed of into the sewer system.
Oh.
But don't you think that's fascinating that they can do, like, they can break it down.
How the hell do they make ashes, though, in water?
Because the bones still remain.
Oh, okay. So the ashes is just from the bone.
Yeah, like, I literally saw a picture of a guy holding a load of bones in, like, a bus tub. Like, they took them out to then break them down. Brilliant. To create the ashes. Now, they also don't cremate the coffin, just the body. So when you get the ashes back, it is literally your loved one. There's not all, like, the other random shite that has been cremated along with them.
Yeah.
And also, if you have chosen to have a full service, the coffin can then be repurposed, you know? As well as any implants, prosthetics, or medical devices, they can then be recycled. So this is a good idea, this. I'm liking this.
So this is a good idea, but me helping people in labour?
You're not helping no one. Fucking putting gases into them. Can we, actually, do you know what? While we're on it, if you listen to our episode, I think it was Robert Maudsley episode, wasn't it? The oddity on that. We talk about coffin births.
Yeah.
I'm sorry if I'm getting that wrong. I'm pretty sure it's Robert Maudsley if you want to go back and
listen through them all.
Listen to them all. Just give them a quick listen. Now, we're talking about coffin births and basically the gases, you know, pushing the baby out. Fetal extrusion, I believe. Neil came up with the idea, and you'll hear him talk about during the episode, of why don't we just pump women full of gas and push the baby out? Now, As horrific as that sounds, and you think that's one of those stupid things you can put on the spot and just like, you know, afterwards like, oh yeah, that's insane. Why did I say that? No.
I'm still on it.
We were then sat with a group of people and he actually tries to pitch this idea. he's still holding on to it. Do you know what he fucking said? Patent pending. I don't fucking know. In 2023, Elizabeth Oakes opened Pure Reflections in County Meath, the first water cremation service in Europe. Huh?
And it's in Ireland.
Ireland representing. Not only us on is the it fucking in Ireland, map.
It's in fucking Meath. There's nothing else there.
Oh. Now, with the cost of funerals in and around the 6,000 euro mark, Pure Reflections offers water cremation and memorial service for just 3,500 euro.
Oh.
Yeah. How's that grab you? Now, I just want to also note, we're not sponsored by Pure Reflections or anything. I just think this is a fucking great idea.
But if you're listening, we're up for it.
Listen, Elizabeth, we're here. We're ready and waiting. What do you reckon? Would you pick this method?
No, I've already said what I want.
Throw you in a ditch.
Well, you can do that if you're skint. But I really like the Viking burial.
You can't do that.
You can.
You can't just send a body out into the water. Like, what the fuck do you think people the Coast Guard... I'm not getting arrested, right? I'm not having the fucking Coast Guard come up to me and be like, miss, you can't just discard of a fucking body
and,
into the fucking sea.
And as a Brit, you're not allowed to cheat and use a crossbow. Bow and arrow only.
So you wouldn't go for the water cremation? Well, I mean, kind of you are, I suppose, in a way.
Yeah.
It's a water-based
You're setting fire
method.
To me.
Yeah.
On the water.
It's a very literal water cremation.
Yeah.
But I think I'll go for this. I mean, it doesn't really matter because I'll be dead. You can do whatever the fuck you want.
That's like, I understand this. It is a good idea.
Yes, it is.
So are my gases for the labour.
Thank you so much for listening. Find us on Patreon, TikTok, Facebook and Instagram. If you have a case suggestion, or maybe even your own story, email us at mortalmusingspodcast@gmail.com.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.